Christchurch. Christchurch is St Mary's daughter church, and we meet up in the new Isla Vili Primary School. Can I still call it new? I'm going to. On Sunday afternoons. So if you're ever at a loose end on a Sunday afternoon and want to do something, come to church. Let's pray. Loving God, we invite you into this moment. I ask that you take what I have prepared and speak through it. May these be your words, not mine. In your name, amen. Amen. Any Nirvana fans in this morning? Oh, yes, good, good. Well, the first service, no one wanted to reveal themselves. But thank you, those brave three that did. Thank you. I'm sure maybe we have some closet Nirvana fans. Just weren't willing to reveal themselves. But the song Come As You Are, do you know Come As You Are? You might know it, brilliant song. And I was reading that Kurt Cobain said that the song purposefully contradicts itself. One line purposely contradicts the next line, because it's all about the expectations that people have for other people and really how we should just be able to come as we are. And I was thinking about the expectations that have been put on Thomas in today's reading. Because, you know, he's travelled with Jesus for 3 years. He's been chosen as one of the disciples. He's seen Jesus do amazing things, miracles, and all sorts of exciting things. So the other disciples are just expecting him when they tell him, oh, look, you know, we saw the risen Jesus. That of course he'll believe. Because that's what's expected of him. But not Thomas, no. Thomas is his own man. Thomas has his own ideas. And I thought we would delve into this story this morning and see what we can learn from it. I'm going to start at verse 24. I'm going to read from the Message version. You can read along in the pew Bibles if you want, or don't. That's up to you. But here we go. So verse 24. But Thomas, sometimes called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. Well, where was he? What was he doing? Like washing his hair? Getting the groceries in? What more important thing did he have to do? Where was he? At a theme park? I don't know. What was ye olde theme park? Health and safety, I'm sure, was brilliant there. Anyway, where was he? What was he doing? And it makes it sound like he was a bit careless, as if he'd forgotten that they were going to have an impromptu meeting around someone's house or something like that. But maybe actually it's not an accident. It's not like old silly Thomas, always late, never there when you need him. Maybe this is divine. Maybe this is divine intervention. Actually, those of us that have more questions than answers, those of us who sometimes doubt things, we need Thomas not to have been there because we need these next verses. So actually, without this next thing happening, actually, I think the Bible and the whole Jesus story might be missing something. So I'm quite glad that Thomas wasn't there because otherwise we wouldn't have these incredible verses. Verse 25, the other disciples told him, "We saw the Master." But he said, unless I see the nail holes in his hands, put my finger in the nail holes and stick my hand in his side, I won't believe it. And this is sometimes used against Thomas. Thomas has somehow got the nickname Doubting Thomas, which I think is incredibly unfair because we all have doubts and we all have questions sometimes. But this is sometimes used against him. Like, well, why didn't you believe the testimony of the other disciples? They told you. Why won't you believe them? Why didn't you believe? Because they believed. And that's the really important bit, that we can't believe because someone else believes. Faith and belief is personal. It's for us. It's our thing. We can't choose to live a life for Jesus just because our friend wants us to, or our friend told us to, or because our friend does. We have to do it because it's what we feel, and it's what's in our heart, and because we believe it. There's no point doing it because someone else wants you to. It has to be our own thing that we have chosen to do. We can't force other people into it, and we shouldn't be forced into it ourselves. So no, I'm on Thomas's side. Yeah, why should you believe because someone else did? But although it is a personal journey, it's best done with other people to encourage you. And I love the early chapters in Acts when this new, they haven't called it a church yet, they're kind of followers of the way, I think that's what they call themselves. They're like working out what we're going to be, what we're going to do, what does this mean? And I love that scene that we heard read out in Acts where the disciples, they're there together and they're chatting and they're sharing stories for the wonderful things Jesus did and they're sharing their possessions. I imagine there was lots of food and wine. And that is the best kind of environment to make faith journeys, to learn things and to be encouraged in faith journeys. And that is what we want St. Mary's to be. So if you're on a faith journey, you are in the right place, because hopefully we can support each other on those personal journeys, but also in our togetherness. In verse 26, Jesus appears in the locked room. How? I don't know. No answers there. Verse 27, let's move on. Verse 27, then he focused his attention on Thomas. Take your finger and examine my hands. Take your hand and stick it in my side. Don't be unbelieving, believe. And I love this moment for the simple thing that what Jesus basically says to Thomas is, come, come as you are. Come to me. And he calls, and I imagine it doesn't say, but he's talking directly to Thomas. Thomas, come, draw close. Thomas, will you come and meet me? Jesus invites us to bring our brokenness. I have conversations with people who are like, well, I would come to church, but I've just got to sort some things out first. And I'm like, why? Don't do that. Come now. like, you don't have to be perfect to come to church. And what a relief that is. If you're all perfect and I was just here in my brokenness with, like, my leg hanging off metaphorically or things like that, I'd feel awful. I'd feel so condemned. I don't mean to cast aspersions on everyone here, but I'm quite glad that you're all not perfect. Sorry. No, if anyone's offended by that, see me afterwards. But I'm really glad that actually church is not a place of perfect people who are going, well, how wonderful we are. But actually, we don't have to be perfect or have it all together to come to Jesus. Actually, it's best done in our brokenness, in our unformed state. And then together, like a mosaic, we can make something beautiful and we can kind of explore life together. Pope Francis says, Jesus invites us to behold these wounds, to touch them as Thomas did, to heal our lack of belief. Above all, he invites us to enter into the mystery of these wounds, which is the mystery of his merciful love. Oh, I just think that's brilliant. That each of us has an invitation to draw close to Jesus in our broken state and to touch his wounds. And that's not a one-time invite. We don't make that invite once and then brilliant, off, we're fine, we're perfect. Actually, that's a daily invite. We have the opportunity every day, every minute if we wanted to draw close to Jesus whenever we need to, in whatever state we are in our brokenness, in our joy, legs hanging off or whatever. And that's something we each have to decide. We each have to explore this mystery, explore that love that we are granted, that we are wrapped up in, and make a decision for ourselves. And in verse 28, we hear Thomas's decision. He goes, Thomas said, my master, my God, or my Lord, my God. And this is such a profound passage, a little verse, and it's so short. Right at the very beginning of John's Gospel, and I will get this right, I did in the first service, so I can do it again. The very beginning of John's Gospel says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Brilliant. Amazing. Phew, got it right. People are nodding. I didn't muck it up. Yes. But John then basically spends the next 20 chapters going, here's my evidence. Here's the stories that I've been told that I'm going to share with you. Here's the things that have been seen, the things that Jesus might have said about himself, things that I think about Jesus. And here it is. Here's the proof. And right at the end of chapter 20, which is meant to be the end of John's... Hello, Ladybird. Which is meant to be the end of John's Gospel. Chapter 21 is still part of John's Gospel, but we believe it was probably added a little bit later. Hello. There we go. Sorry, Ladybird. I'm going to leave it there. Right at the end of John's Gospel, chapter 20, we have Thomas confirming what John said at the start. We have Thomas for confirming that Jesus is God, that the Word was God. We've come full circle from the beginning to the end. And that's really important because Thomas is the only person in John's gospel to say that Jesus was God without question or caveat. Other people are like, maybe, not quite sure. Thomas, he's in it. He's like, yeah, you're God. That's amazing. That is amazing. This so-called doubter is the first and only person to really proclaim who Jesus is. And then in verse 29, Jesus said, "So you believe because you've seen with your own eyes. Even better blessings are in store for those who believe without seeing." And this again has been used to slap Thomas on the wrist and saying, "Well, Thomas, you had to see Jesus. Other people, they're going to believe without seeing. Naughty Thomas." However, St. Thomas, different St. Thomas, this is St. Thomas Aquinas, he was, I think, 13th century, someone can correct me. St. Thomas Aquinas said that, yes, Thomas saw Jesus' humanity, but Thomas believed Jesus' divinity. Yes, he may have seen one thing, he saw Jesus' humanity, but what he believed and what he understood from that encounter was Jesus' divinity. And I think that's amazing. And in verse 30 and 31, Jesus provided far more God-revealing signs than are written down in this book. These are written, what? What else did he do? I want to know it. One day, these are written down so you will believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and in the act of believing, have real and eternal life in the way he personally revealed it. This is what John's gospel is all about. It's all about so we would know that Jesus was the Messiah, that was God, the long-awaited one. And that's something that we each personally have to discover. It's something that we each have to discover for ourselves. And each of the post-resurrection experiences are personal to the people that experience them. Let me explain. I saw some tweets this week that I thought, I'm going to read them to you because I couldn't say it any better. This is from an American vicar. Here we go. So Mary Magdalene needed to hear her name spoken in order to believe. Peter needed to hear, "Peace be with you," and be forgiven to believe. Thomas needed to touch the wounded places to believe. Paul needed to be knocked off his high horse to believe. God meets us where we are. Mary needed a God who had not forgotten her, who still knew her and loved her and would not abandon her. Mary's faith was in the name of the one who knows us and calls us by name. Peter needed a God who would not hold his denial against him, but desired to be reconciled to him and who still had a purpose for him. Peter's faith was in the faithful one who keeps faith with us. Thomas needed a God that he could not only see but touch, a God who knows our wounds because he carries his own. Thomas's faith was in the wounded one who is able to touch, heal, and make holy our wounded places. Paul needed a God who would challenge his deepest prejudices, overcome his greatest fear, and humble his overwhelming pride. Paul's faith was in the one who is making all things new. In Jesus, Mary found the one who called her by name. In Jesus, Peter found the one who forgave the past and empowered her future, his future. In Jesus, Thomas found the one who shares our pain and helps us transcend it. In Jesus, Paul found the one he'd been waiting for but never expected. In Jesus, we can find the same one. So with Mary, we can say, "I have seen the Lord." With Peter, we can say, "Lord, you know I love you." With Thomas, we can say, "My Lord and my God." And with Paul, we can say, "God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ and has given us a ministry." So please know that you are called by name, each and every one of you. You are loved. You are forgiven, but you're challenged. Paul was challenged. And you are invited to bring your brokenness to Jesus, the person who no wound or scar is too big for. And we're invited to touch and be made holy by him. And then we're invited to go out and find our purpose, find what our ministry in this world is. Thomas, apparently, the doubter, went and brought the gospel to India. No small feat, quite impressive, I think. Quite cool. And ended up dying by spear for what he believed. Let's pray. Loving God, thank you that we are loved by you, a love that is so pure and so wonderful, so unconditional. May we always know that we are loved, forgiven. May you challenge us where we need to be challenged. But may we never be scared to come to you in our brokenness. Heal us where we need it, loving God. And then when we are ready, send us out. Teach us, show us our purpose, where you are calling us to be. In your name, amen.
Amen.